Peace, peace, everyone. It's your girl, Sequoia Bloom, back here with another episode. Today's special guest today is Brady. He's a dog training expert. And this is an important topic for me because some of you that know me knows I've had dogs all my life. Look, I have several lives too. And basically, it's so many things that, I mean, I need to understand about dogs because they're emotional and they have feelings. And when I was younger, I didn't know about all that. Like, I just didn't pay attention to my dog. I had a dog named Jujubee. And I had Jujubee. She died at 15 years old. And I had her so long, and I didn't really take the time to understand the life of the dog. Like, I watched all these movies, A Dog Life, and all this stuff. But I didn't have a chance to understand the dog, or understand the emotional side of the dog. And that's important to help your dog and help it be healthy. So, Brady, what made you get into dog training?
Wow, I love it. What an intro. I have so many questions to dive into with you too. And I want everyone listening right now, we're going to talk about dog training and like some tips and tricks. And then we could talk about past life regression, because I feel like I've had past lives with other animals too. You want to go down that rabbit hole. But we could talk about leadership and all sorts of stuff. I was on a dream podcast once, breaking down some dog dreams. And yeah, fun stuff.
Wow.
I'm happy to spend the next, 25, 30 minutes with you or so?
Yeah, sometimes it goes over, but, you know, that's usually our limit. But sometimes we go over and we get deep in.
Yeah.
Got to finish that little towel.
Well, I want everyone to know, before I share my story, the average dog, and that's Chihuahuas, Pomeranians, Border Collies, German Shepherds, and everything in between, the average dog can learn 165 words. That's quite a few words, right? So I have a feeling your dog can learn maybe 20, 30 more words easily. You just don't know it yet. And there's a formula that I can share with you too. But I like to let everyone know that all dogs are capable of learning. It's very important. And animals in general, I have guinea pigs and I've trained pigs and cows. And
oh,
goats.
Yeah, look at you about that.
Different thing too. But how I got started is I grew up with animals too. My parents had a bunch of chocolate labs. We had German Shepherds. We had mutts. And most of them ended up being rehomed and like sent to a farm or something because like they would run away or we couldn't exercise them enough. And like, I didn't have this like magical background with animals, but I did have this feeling of like, there has to be more, because I see like at that time with Caesar Milan was the big person. And like, I see like these amazing dogs and like, it's possible, but like my family couldn't do it. So, I remember I would get calls after school and my mom would be like, the dogs are going to leave. I go find them before the animal catcher does. We have to drive around and go like chase them down. But anywho, so when I was 22 years old, I got my first puppy. I got an Australian Shepherd and I named him Bumblebee.
Oh.
And yeah, because his butt wiggles so fast and he has so much energy. And so my parents with our dogs, I remember our first dog trainer, there was a lot of intimidation, and that was just kind of like what was taught. And then I was like, I don't want that to be me. I want to use like love. And so like he would sleep in my bed and I got him the best treats and like he had free reign of the house. But I remember about 6 months in, I went to hang out with my friends for like an hour and a half, 2 hours. And I came home and this smell hit me and I was like, oh no, something's wrong. And I opened my door and sure enough, it's like there's four piles of poop and there's a chunk of my carpet missing. And of course, he's just like wiggling that butt, like all excited to see me. And he's like, look what I did, Dad. And I'm like, oh my gosh, it's like 11:30 at night. And I'm like, I have to stay up later now. Like, is Home Depot open? I have to go rent a carpet cleaner. It was insane. So that was my rock bottom of the point where it was like, I was like, well, I'm not the type of person who wants to use like intimidation and pain. Bribing my dog and letting him sleep in my room and giving him 100% access to everything doesn't teach him how not to eat my carpet or to hold his bladder or to tell someone he has to go or even like his crate, because they didn't like his crate at the time. So I found a mentor, a coach. Her name is Susan Garrett, and I recommend her to everyone. Her podcast is fantastic too. But she's a 6-time world agility champion. And she's done it with multiple dogs. So I've tried to look for training that I could use for different animals, right? Because like if you just you can't put like a prong collar, an e-collar on a cow. Like, just doesn't work, you know?
Yeah.
Or a human for that matter, you know?
Oh, good Lord.
So I found her. I first learned how to crate train my dog, and I started teaching him how to come when called, because that's a safety thing. And walking on leash, that one took us some time, but we eventually worked through the steps to build a reinforcement zone where he loves walking by my side. And I've trained him now and asked him to give me a beer out of the fridge, and he can like open the fridge and like grab the drink and like bring it to me and then like shut the fridge. And I'm training my 8-month-old puppy now. He's 8, Bumblebee is, and my 8-month-old puppy, Curiosity is her name.
Oh, I love that name.
She was
Curiosity.
Feisty.
Huh. Like that. Curiosity didn't kill the cat or freed the cat. Our dog.
And then I like curry too, like Indian food. So I like this kind of works. I call it curry for short.
Oh, that's so cute. I like that.
So I'm training her how to ride a skateboard because that was always like a dream of mine. And you can do all sorts of stuff with animals. It's fun. So I'm happy to dive into any and all of it.
What the ham sandwich? How did you learn? How did you teach them that? Because I can't even get my dog Blue to just do what I act. Like he pees when he's nervous. So if he doesn't know the person, he'll just pee wherever and he'll bark and he's like antisocial or something. Then he yodels in the middle of the night, like in out of nowhere at 2 a.m. if he hears like a ambulance or something, or just yodels. And I'm like, what is happening right now? And so then I'm running downstairs trying to, and I calm him down, he's shaking. And I just rub him and stuff. This is the most, I've never had a dog like before in my life. And he's just the emotional dog. And the crazy thing, we got the dog from Craigslist in the hood. We found him in the hood. And I didn't even know what type of dog it was. I said, this is just a dog, I guess. I didn't know. And there was this cool app, and you can scan the dog. And he had like several different dogs in him. So he's mixed. He's, you know.
Really? Okay, that's cool. I think an image. Okay.
Yeah, on the app. Listen, I know everybody always come over and like, oh, your dog looks like a little boy dog, you know. I mean, I think the dog lives several lives. I think Blue is tapped in. He's very spiritual, some about him. But yeah, I'm just like, this dog yodeled stuff. It was so odd. And then the other dog, Juice, that I have, he's just a little wild one. Like, he's an alpha. He's a chihuahua, a long-haired chihuahua. Don't mess with him. You know, like, if he's sleeping and you grab him too fast, he'll try to nab at you. He'll bite you. And he's just a spicy dog, but then he doesn't listen. So if he's on your lap and I say, hey, Juice, get down. I don't want you on me. He'll sit right there. Like, I'm in charge. Like, it's like, when I train this dog. So, and my stepdad, when he was alive, he would spank them and stuff. But I cannot spank the dog. I can't spank Blue. I can't spank Juice. Not like that. When he pees, I do spank him. Blue pees more because Juice was kind of trained because my stepdad trained him before he passed. But Blue is not trained. Like, I can't even let him walk around the house. He's in the cage because he'll come upstairs and just pee. So what steps would you say somebody could take to help their dog not pee everywhere and be a scary Mary and running around trying to bark at everybody and peeing when people come? I mean,
yeah, that's a very good question. So there's a couple things that come to mind. There's this wonderful book called Spiral Dynamic, and it kind of takes you through like different developmental stages. And it starts off with beige, and beige is typically like newborn until like the first few months of their life. And this is like the stage where you're totally dependent on someone, right? And like you need everyone's help, and you're just focused on like safety and security. After beige comes purple, and that's tribal. That's like family. You need a tribe to survive, right? Mm-hmm. After purple comes red, and then that's from like a few months to about 2 years old. After purple is red. Red is power god. You can think of terrible twos. They finally learn, they're like, I don't have to do that. I don't want to do that. Like, no, right? And so they become this power god. And some people live in red. Some people never get out of this stage. Some people walk around always a power god saying like, my word is God's word and you got to do what I say, you know?
Yeah.
After red comes blue. Blue is rules. Blue, you can kind of think of, this is like when religion came about. And so we went from like nothing to like, oh, there's rules to get into heaven or to go to hell. And so it's kind of like Monopoly. When growing up, when I was playing with the kid, with my sibling, I'm the oldest of six. So
Oh, wow.
We would always fight when we play Monopoly. Someone would end up like getting hit or crying or like throwing the pieces at someone because someone did something because they were a power god. And they're like, no, I'm taking this money. And I didn't realize this until I went home a few Christmases ago and we pulled out Monopoly. Like, my girlfriend came with me and she loves board games. I hate board games. She's the youngest of two. And she's like, let's play a game. I was like, okay, whatever. Let's try. Let's see what happens. And so we pull out the game, and the first thing everyone does is they start taking all as much money as they can grab, right? And she's like, what are you guys doing? Like, these are all my little siblings. And they're like, well, it's just whoever gets whatever they get, you know? So it's like survival of the fittest.
Yeah.
And she's like, stop. That's not how this game works. There's rules to this game. There's a banker, and everyone gets a specific amount of money. And we take turns, and if someone goes bankrupt, it goes to auction, and it's not like, oh, I get this because, like, I got all the money at the beginning of the game, you know? There's rules to these games.
Mm-hmm.
So, after blue, I'm going to tie this all together for dog training, too. There's orange. Orange are achievers, right? They realize rules are cool, but people make up their own rules, and they realize that they can build their own institution. This is kind of like maybe like an Apple or a Google. Now they've built something bigger than themselves and they've implemented their own rules and they're achievers now. This is like construction companies. They're just building. And so my goal is to get a dog from beige to orange to where they just enjoy playing the game and they know how to win the game and they can just like keep doing it over and over again. But a lot of times I get dogs in purple, which are like tribal. Like they're just kind of like following people around. They don't really have a thinking mind of their own. They're not really making choices. They're just kind of like following a pattern, you know? And sometimes I get really, really, really scared dogs, like a rescue dog. I rescued one like 4 months ago now.
Oh, wow.
Kiana. And when she came to me, she was like almost in beige. She was just like really afraid to go to the bathroom. She was afraid to like walk around. She was like just really quick to go into fight, flight, or freeze and just to like run away instead of like thinking and like taking a breath and like analyzing the situation, you know? So my goal is to get them to go to purple to red. So my favorite part is when a dog starts, they get comfortable with me and then they start telling me no. And then it's like, no, I don't want to do that. And I'm like, okay, great. We're moving along the ladder now. It's like, we have to get to no before we can get to rules. And that's when I start showing them rules. I was like, okay, fine. You don't want to sit before we go for a walk. We don't got to go for a walk right now. And so we just play this little game sometimes of like, as fast as you can do what I want, you get what you want. And I call it grandma's rule because when I was a kid, like people would knock on our door and they would say, can Brady play? And my mom would look at me and she goes, is your room clean? I don't know if your mom did this.
Yeah, my mom did do that.
So if it wasn't clean, there's no way I'm going to go play with my friends.
Nope, like, nope.
You better go clean your room. If it was clean, I'm good. But it was all on me, right? Like, I had the option to make sure my room was clean or not. And she doesn't have to bribe me or intimidate me. She's just like, it's up to you. If you want to play with your friends, you got to clean your room. And I'm like, do I want to play with my friends? Yes, okay, I'm going to go clean my room. And that's the same type of mindset I want the dogs to have. It's like,
oh, I see what you're saying.
Right?
Yeah, that makes sense. Like, let them feel something.
Yeah.
So they can be excited enough to do it.
Yeah, exactly. And you have to use pain. Like, it was painful for me not to hang out with my friends. But it was, like, elegant pain. It's not like my mom was beating me. It was, like, the pain is almost self-inflicted. I had a choice, and I didn't follow through what the rules were.
No, that makes sense. Because, I mean, usually people are like, oh, if I give you a treat, like, you know, go to bed, get a chip chip. That's what I say to them. Go to bed, get a chip chip. And it gets them to bed. But anything else besides that, it doesn't work. And I think I'm starting to think there's the emotional connection with the dog, like a whisper of some sort to connect with them on their individual level. Because all these dogs and animals are so different, their brains. Do you think dogs can critically think? Do you think they have...
This is a great question because I'm reading this book called Einstein Never Use Flashcards, and it dives into like kids' brains and how kids' brains work. And a lot of times people will be like, my animal did that on purpose. My dog did that on purpose, or my kid did that on purpose to get back at me, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, they're thinking this on purpose. And they did some experiments and they proved that it doesn't work like that. They can't think like that. They're just doing what they find fun, right? If nothing is personal, your dog's not doing anything personal to you. Your dog is just doing what they find enjoyable. And it's the same reason why people smoke cigarettes or they bite their nails or they drink alcohol or whatever it may be. It's just a pattern. And that pattern has been built on positive emotions. Typically, you go hang out with friends and you do these things, or it's a new type of alcohol, or it's a new type of thing, right? So there's variety, or you know exactly how you're going to feel, but each time feels a little bit different too. So you get some certainty and some uncertainty from it too. So your dog is playing these same type of things in their brain when they're barking at people coming to the door, or when they're laying on your lap, and they're getting their needs met, and they just do what they find enjoyable. So my goal for when I find a dog is I want to train them to find different things enjoyable. And so in my brain, like, okay, there's things that I know are good for you, right? Like not jumping on me means keeping all four paws on the ground, right? So I want you to love keeping your paws on the ground. And so one game I play with people, especially with small dogs, because small dogs are interesting because if they jump on you, you don't mind, but sometimes it's still kind of annoying if they jump on you, right?
Yes. Oh my God. That's
so. What I do though is like very elegantly, I'll use my voice and I'll get home and like normally they're really excited to see me and I'll say, "Hey there, how are you doing?" What does this do? It causes them to jump on me because they think excitement means jumping. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So what I do is I stop being excited and I turn and look away from them. And then as soon as they like stop, then I use my voice again. I go, "Hey, what's up? How you doing?" And they jump, and then I stop. And I go back and forth like this for a little bit. After doing it for like 30 seconds, 45 seconds, the dog's like, "Well, I like when they talk, and they only talk when I have all four paws on the ground. So I guess I'm gonna keep all four paws on the ground so they keep getting excited with me." And that's how I start showing them this grandma's rule.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, that does make sense as I'm thinking about it now, like kind of like using these techniques to get their mind a certain way. I mean, it gets them to where you get them to kind of do what you want in a way that works for both of you. I think that works. I mean, I would try that with my dog. That makes sense.
Yeah, because the problem, right? And this game is really quick and it's just like it's on, off, on, off. So I'm like, "Hey, what's up? Oh, my God. You're so, oh, look at you. You're doing so good." And like that's literally kind of how it goes and how quickly I play it. Sometimes what I find people do is their dog will jump on them. They'll be like, "Get off." And then they get off and they're like, "Sit." And then the dog sits and then they pet them, right? But you just train your dog to be bad and to get your attention because now they've got your full undivided attention. It's like,
yeah,
a couple of my siblings, they learned that they could get in trouble and they got a lot of attention for it, you know? So they would steal the car at night. And
oh, Lord.
And my parents are like, "Why do they keep doing it?" And I'm like, "Because they've learned they have to be bad in order to get your attention, right?" And so the dogs learn the same thing, and it's a very slippery slope. So this other game that I just told you first is a much more fun way to kind of play them.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one.
And then the pottying thing, I like to train dogs to ring bells in order to tell you they have to go potty. But in between that, it sounds like there's some emotional things going on with your pup Blue for him pottying.
Yeah.
A little nervous.
Yeah, there's some emotional stuff because one time we were traveling to LA and we were staying at a hotel and we were in the elevator and I was holding Blue and this lady was just trying to pet him and his hand went like this to the lady. And I was rolling. I just couldn't stop laughing because he was just, it was like a little real boy. He was just like, so I'm like, that is so interesting. And I realized he had some emotional stuff going on. And I'm like, how do I get through this? So where he's not yelling at night and he's not peeing when somebody wants to pet him or barking at him anyway. He doesn't growl or anything like that. He just barks and he's scared. And I think I just don't know what technique somebody can do to emotionally connect with their dog to get them centered and comfortable.
Yeah, I think it revolves around confidence. And I think confidence is a skill. I told you earlier, I've been on a lot of podcasts recently.
Yes.
I feel confident comes from repetition. The only reason why I can speak to these things now is because I've already talked about it bunches of time, you know?
Yep.
So for your pup Blue, I look for to build confidence in the dogs. It's something I'm really good at. And the way I do that is I teach them very simple things. Like I teach them how to touch their nose to my hand, right? It's a very easy behavior to train, but I can get them to touch it over here. I can get them to touch it over here. I can get them to sit and touch it. I can get them to lay down and touch it. I can even get them to roll over and touch it, right? And all of these things take time, right? So we're going to be training every single day, obviously, 5-10 minutes, nothing too crazy. But by doing this, it gives him confidence because when I stick it on my hand, he goes, I know what this means. Like, it's just, this is predictable. And then, because he's done it over and over again, and then when he gets into a moment where he's really nervous, you can put out your hand and you can give him that confidence because he goes, oh, something familiar. I know this. But right now, he just sees a lot of things that scare him. And it's like, this is a familiar thing that we've trained. So I have not just my hand, but I have a bunch of different words, 20 or 30 words that I can call on that can trigger him into a different state and like help them work through these moments.
Wow. And what's one technique that you use to trigger them?
What's one technique I use to trigger them? So, right. It's less about techniques. It's interesting, right? Because I teach them the word, right? Like sit or roll over or come, right? Or touch their nose to my hand means touch, right? And so there's different words.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying.
And so I teach them the behavior. And then once they understand the behavior, then I add a word onto it. Once they already know that, sometimes people, when they're first training sit, they'll be like, sit, and then like do it. But if you associate that to a beginning learning behavior, like that's going to be the type of quality you get moving forward. So I don't name a behavior until it's really good. And then once it's really good, then I'm like, sit. And then I use my hand touch and I'll guide him into a sit. And then it's really fast, it's really good. So then when we get into a moment, I can say sit. And when they're nervous, they go, oh, I know this word. And then I can use my hand touch too if I need to. And like, oh, I know this thing too.
Mm-hmm.
Their focus can get redirected and they can start engaging their thinking brain instead of their fight, flight, or freeze, the reptilian brain.
I like that. That makes sense. That's going to be a good way for me to calm down Blue. I mean,
teaching them a nose touch. And to do that, you just wave your hand. So like, did I tell you I taught a pig how to paint?
Oh yeah, I'm going to get into the other animals that you taught.
Yeah.
I've heard we're smarter than dogs, I've heard.
Yeah, they're just as smart, if not a little bit smarter. They're very, very smart. And this pig I worked with was extremely abused and neglected and terrible, terrible life. Her name is Cashew. She's awesome. Yeah, they call her my farm girlfriend because we spent so much time working together. But it took me a year to help her get more comfortable because she didn't have any pig friends and she didn't have any human friends. She would just sit by herself all day long, every day. She didn't like anyone. So the first step is I have to connect and understand her world, right? And so I understand there's some baggage there. So I'm not going to come into her with like all of my Brady energy. I'm going to come in there a little bit more calm, a little bit more safe, understanding like I got to build this trust before I can be my full self. And then I got to make sure I have to connect and have leverage. And she liked popcorn. And so I got some popcorn. And when I teach this nose, right, that I was telling you, the first thing I do is I just wave my hand at them. So they look at my hand and then I say search. And then I grab a piece of popcorn and I toss it to her. And I'm like 5-10 feet away. And then she like looks at me and she's like, is this safe? And then I take a couple steps back. Because there's like this imaginary bubble that everyone kind of has going on. And so like I step back and it kind of pulls her towards me. Like, and then she eats the popcorn and she goes, oh, this is interesting. And then I wave my hand again, which normally hands being waved at her means she's probably about to get abused, right? Something bad is going to happen. And like humans mean that now. She's generalized and not just hands. It's like any human, bad, right? I don't like humans. And so my first goal is to show her that humans are good. And so like, I wave my hand. I say search, I grab a treat, right? This game eventually builds to where like I play this with her every single, or I played with her once a week for a year. But to the point where I can wave my hand and now I'll drop a treat in my hand and she comes over and eats it out of my hand, right?
Oh, wow.
So now I got her coming in, like touching her nose. And so then it goes to the next level where I wave my hand and then she knows like a treat normally comes. So she comes over and she just like touches her nose to my hand. And then I drop the treat in my hand and I reward her for the behavior. And so that's how I train that. And then you can use that anywhere and everywhere. It's brilliant.
Oh man, I'm gonna try that. That's interesting. Yeah, because I always think about dog training and stuff. I never thought about how to train the pigs. And what other animals have you trained? Pigs, cows?
I've worked with some of the goats. There was a turkey there that I trained. Yeah, there's some sheep. Yeah, I have two guinea pigs, and so I train the guinea pigs. There's endless opportunities for training.
And they're all similar to the dogs, too. Like, their training is all similar. They all work kind of together or faster, would you say? Like, as far as the... Are they smarter? Like, I always think...
Yeah, there's definitely differences. And so what I look at is their prefrontal cortex. So dogs have about like 12-13% prefrontal cortex. Pigs have about 14%. Cats have 9%. Guinea pigs have like 1-2%. But the interesting thing is that kind of goes to their thought processes and like how thoughtful they can be in like their decision making. And so what you can say, right, is dogs or pigs can make better choices than guinea pigs can, but both of them can equally learn just as well how to touch their nose to my hand or to touch it to a target stick. And I teach a target stick. You can imagine just a pen with like a ball on the end of it, right? I teach them how to touch their nose to it, and they can just follow that around. And that's a very easy behavior. And if you look at ants or spiders or different insects, they do some pretty complex things like building their nest and all that stuff. They're very smart, right? So it's not to say like animals are dumb in any ways. There's lots of things happening that I don't think we give enough attention to.
Yeah, they got feelings and they're getting slaughtered. And you know, and I grew up on meat, so it's complicated. But as I got older, I kind of push away. I'm eating a lot of seafood, which I do feel like the poor fish shouldn't be eaten, but I've, you know, when you grow up with meat, it's hard to just say, okay, I can't eat this. But I am leaning, because I feel like, I remember somebody told me one time, I was working at the airport a long time ago, and this Ethiopian culture, they believe that there's feelings in the animals when you're eating them, and you take on their feeling. And I said, gosh, I'm taking on these animals' feelings. I never ate a dog, but somebody's eating a dog though in Japan, because I was in Japan, I forgot where it was, but yeah, you're taking on their feelings and stuff, and it's like, it's just, it makes me feel like, dang, because it's already, as a human, you get all these different energies coming from everywhere on you, and I think you just gotta pray over your food, I guess, or just try to, because it's hard to go cold turkey, it's hard to just stop eating animals, but they definitely have these feelings, and you can tap in with them, like you said, and train them, and teach them things, and you look in their little eyes, and you can see so much in them. Do you believe that animals can live like, yeah, I don't know. You ever saw A Dog's Life with Dennis Quaid? And,
a long time ago. Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty old, but the dog kept coming back, like, through another dog, like the spirit. And I think it's possible. I remember I asked a psychic on here one time about that. She didn't quite believe in that, and she didn't quite believe a human could come back as a dog. Like, my mom thinks Blue might be her dad. So I'm back in Blue, and she thinks she thinks Juice is her husband. She thinks Juice came back as her husband. So, and you know, she just had those different things. And I said, I know there's other people out there that think like that, or think that, you know, their past dog could be the new dog, like Jujubee. I always felt like Jujubee could be inside of Blue. It was just, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I believe in past lives. I believe that I've lived many, many lives. And I think that you could be reborn as a cockroach in Bolivia if you were to like commit suicide and like damage something to yourself that's not meant to be yours to be damaged. So I do think you can do that. And I think whether people think they're you can or you can't, they're right. It's just no one can say anything, like, because no one knows, right?
No one knows. You just know a feeling. That's all you know.
Yeah. Yeah, you just know this feeling. And I know that there has to be something bigger than us, because there's just so many things happening that are just way beyond us. But I do think animals are spiritual teachers. I do think that they're here to give us a gift and to overcome something. And you can ignore it if you want to, but you're going to have that problem show up in your life again. Or you can choose to face it. So like this for you, right? This is a brilliant moment to take the time and learn some of the skills, because there's people who have had scared chihuahuas and then have overcome it, and now they have confident chihuahuas. I work with Pomeranians, chihuahuas. I've done it with a bunch of other. I worked with a dog named Oliver. Same thing. He had to wear a diaper.
Oh, dang. Almost put my dog in a diaper, Blue.
Yeah. But you feel bad because like his fur would get matted and stuff, but you couldn't trust him because he would just pee on things, right? So I taught him there's a few spots that he liked to pee on, and so I associated an essential oil to mean to, like, stay away, right? And so then I went to all sprinkle this oil onto it, right? And then I also trained him how to ring bells to tell us he has to go to the bathroom, right? So
wow,
he could do that. And then I also made sure he was crate trained, because he wasn't crate trained at all, so he like they couldn't really do anything with it. At least you can put yours in the crate and kind of manage it. But I put him in the crate and I reset him in a sense, in that like, okay, there's rules to this house. We can't just take all the money out of the Monopoly board anymore. There's rules to this game. And if like I see you peeing on something, I'm not going to hit you. I'm not going to do anything like that. I'm going to pick you up as fast as I can. I'm going to run you outside. I'm going to hit the bells if I can. I'm going to put you outside to finish going. And then I'm going to take you back inside, and then I'm going to probably put you back in your crate, or I'll put you in your crate, and I'm going to be more mindful next time of where I leave you. And then I would also make sure I put the essential oil there too, so he doesn't like re-smell that thing and get triggered again. But using all these things and like showing him that like, okay, this isn't gonna fly anymore. This is where we go past to the bathroom. This is how you tell me we go to the bathroom, and this is how you stay away from these spots now. And sometimes people take carpets and stuff depending on what it is, but yeah, it's definitely possible, but it is a gift for you to overcome in this lifetime, you know?
Yes. Yes. I mean, I have to do it because I want them to be able to walk around freely while I'm working, and I don't want them to have to stay in a little crate. I mean, they're not in the crate. It's like an open gate, but I want them to be able to walk around and stuff. So I am going to work on that. And I feel like I learned a lot from you today, and I'm sure the audience learned a lot, because I just didn't know what to do. And I didn't get a chance to buy a Caesar Milan book, which I saw they were doing it. But you have a book out, right, as well, right?
So I have a PDF that I share with people. So if you follow me on my Instagram and DM me Dream Dog, I can send you that PDF. I can share the link with you too. And then I have a book club that I'm running. So we read different books about dog training so we can get a variety of information and to see problems in different lights, you know? But yeah, if you need any help, contact me on Instagram. I'm on Instagram, TikTok as ND Dog Training, like you see on the screen. And I'm happy to share any and all secrets with you.
Perfect. And do you do virtual training as well?
I do Zoom lessons. Yeah. Okay. And this book club is how I'm looking to unite people around the globe. So we have like a place to share wins, to talk dogs, and like, be like, hey, I did this to help my dog. Like, this is what you could do too, you know?
Okay. I love it. Okay. So before we close out, I always ask my guests, what's a saying or quote that you go by?
This is good. I have a lot. One of the first ones that it was like ingrained in my brain was from Star Wars and Yoda. And it is, do or do not. There is no try. So if you're going to train.
I love that one.
Yeah. And it's going to be.
Do it. Don't be scared. And make time, you know, some people say at work they're too busy. Make time for your pet. It's important. Yeah. They're your best friends. So I want to thank you for coming on here, Brady. And I want to thank everybody for listening and tuning in. Please follow Brady if you need some training and learn some tips and help your doggy friends and your animal friends. And please subscribe and share. And thanks for tuning in, everyone. Peace.
Thank you.